Welcome to the Duke Long Commercial Real Estate with a Little Attitude podcast. Thank you for listening. So you're sitting maybe with your back pushed up against the black leather of your car seat looking at your phone, or maybe you're on a plane up front with the tray down and your laptop up. You're a deal maker, you're an earth shaker, and you do a lot of deals because you create and discover, and you know that's how it gets done. Now, some of your colleagues wonder how you're keeping track of it all, but you don't really have to. You already have the capability of predicting, forecasting, and tracking all of your deals. Now, you're pushing that information out to your team daily, and you even let your client in on that information, and that's what they call real transparency. You have all the docs for all your deals in order, and you even keep them and hang them out in the cloud. And your colleagues are still wondering how you get it all done and still have a little time left for your kids and maybe a tea time or two. Now, you've told them they just need to stop doing extra and redundant work. You told them that you use a deal-ready set of templates and you transfer deal data directly into the docs that you have without touching a thing. And when you head out of the office for yet another deal-making appointment, you can see them just shaking their heads. And they think that you have some kind of secret, but they know that you have always had the edge. And the one thing that they do know is that you know how to get paid. Now, you've told them how to do it, but are they listening? Because what it really is, it's tools. Simple, intuitive, dynamic, easy-to-use tools like Resimplify. Now, if that broker's you, that's awesome. If that broker's not you, you need to go to resimplify.com and do me a favor and check out their video. It lays it all right out in front of you. Go click on their demo button, and hopefully it'll help you find out how you can track all your deals. Now, I've seen this product. I've used this product. And let me ask you a question. How many deals are you missing just by not tracking the ones you have? And you don't know the answer to that. You have no idea. So why don't you just simplify how you conduct your commercial real estate business with Resimplify? I need to give a big shout out to the people at Resimplify for helping me. And for the rest of us, actually, and helping us push out some of this wonderful stuff to the beautiful business of commercial real estate. And welcome again today to the Duke Long Commercial Real Estate with Little Attitude podcast. And today we have my good friend Michael Griffin. Michael is the president and founder of Client Look. And Michael, you've been on here before, but we do so well that I thought, let's do it some more. Let's do it again. So it's been like, has it been a year since we talked like this on the last podcast that got a bunch of hits, by the way? Has it been that long, or does it seem that way?
No, it seems that way. I think it's only been 6 months or so, really? But time flies.
Oh, it seemed longer. I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's been a fast summer or something, I guess. I don't know. So give me an idea, and you know this because I send you emails and different things. I get asked all the time about CRM. I think it's one of the most underutilized tools out there. It's crazy. But what's been going on since we talked last with Client Look? Kind of what's happening? Tell me, you know, I know you go to a lot of conferences and do different things. You know, tell me what's going on with you guys right now.
So Client Look is booming. It's we're having a ball. In the last year, I mean, Client Look has effectively doubled our sales revenue. We're very fortunate in that we have a very loyal and an excited group of users. We're now in 1,600 cities, 1,630, and I just updated this.
1,600 cities?
Yeah, and I was doing.
How many cities are there?
Well, this is worldwide. We're also nine countries.
Nine countries? That's amazing.
Yeah. So we grew 100 cities in like the last 90 days. I don't know how we do it. We have this little app that tracks the location of all of our users, and so it tells us in sort of an anonymous way where all these people are. But it's really cool, and so it's fun. You know, we do record month after record month, and fortunately all the kind of plans we set in place a year or two ago are all coming to fruition now and really working well for us. We also enjoy a 98% renewal rate, which I just recalculated again, which is phenomenal in any sort of subscription-based business. So the folks that come on board with us stick around. And interestingly enough, we computed the statistic the other day that of the people that we lose, people, you know, cancel for whatever reason, 60% of them come back within the first 12 months.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's fun.
Michael, like I said, I just mentioned I send you the emails. I get asked all the time, what do you think about this? What do you think about that product? You know, the different competitors that are out there. And I always say, look, you know, how could I say which one is which? It depends on the individual person. So they're going out and trying, and then they're like, wait a minute, this definitely works better for me. And that's all the stuff that I write about and everything. It's not like I'm not picking or going to pick. How does this really work for you, and is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? And you hear all these different things about Salesforce and all these different add-ons, all these different companies. So I guess I got the next question I would have is like, you know, in this marketplace, how you're growing, how are you competing against all of that? You know, what do you think is your value prop? How are you doing that?
Well, so as far as I'm concerned, in the commercial real estate CRM marketplace, it's CloudLook in a handful of Salesforce add-ons. Salesforce itself, you know, as just a generic product, doesn't really have much of a presence because I honestly don't think they care about commercial real estate per se, and they rely on these third-party app developers to customize Salesforce, which otherwise is sort of a really a square peg in a round hole for our industry. And so there are a handful of companies that do a great job trying to customize Salesforce for the industry. But I think we've talked about this before. So I got my start after I was a broker for years. I started a CRM company back in the day, which built a CRM on top of ACT, the old desktop platform.
Dude, you're aging us like 1,000 years right there when you say ACT, but.
I know, or a desktop, right?
Yeah.
But so that was, and back then it was called contact management and not CRM or customer relationship.
Yes, it was.
But so they were the Salesforce of the day. And like Salesforce, they, you know, they wanted big deals, and they couldn't, commercial real estate was too finite for them, too focused. So we developed this add-on, but the big problem was, and the reason why I didn't go down the add-on approach when I started Salesforce, or when I started CloudLook again, you know, with something like Salesforce, was 90% of the base application you can't change. So all these guys who do application development on top of Salesforce, they get a ton of resources, kind of, you know, for their effort. They get all of these built-in things, but most of the application they can't change. And there are fundamental things about Salesforce that just don't work for our industry. Things like the data sharing model and API limitations and just the way that it scales and works and runs. And you can't really make it, in my opinion, suitable enough for a commercial real estate person, at least to get the kind of adoption and the kind of experience that we're trying to get. So Salesforce and how we compete with them, the good thing that Salesforce does in the marketplace is it suggests to everyone that you need a CRM. So they're out there kind of shaking the trees, shaking the bushes, making everybody think that CRM is a viable application to grow your business. And it is. So once people then start to explore CRM in the commercial real estate marketplace, they inevitably find us. We have great SEO, and if you search for commercial real estate CRM, you find CloudLook. So head to head, we win. The application in terms of, you know, CloudLook's focus solely on commercial real estate and a broader base Salesforce, even with the add-on, is still kind of an apples and oranges comparison. So we do really well. So I like the fact that there's Salesforce in this marketplace. If it were just CloudLook, it would be a whole lot harder to raise awareness, you know, that CRM is a viable and important part of the business.
So first of all, Salesforce, I hear a lot about that. And again, I agree with you with it. It's 90% of whatever. And then how do they, I think the thing that I think about with CloudLook is that it's more commercial real estate, obviously, and, you know, real estate related, which it's, in my opinion, most of that. And then you've got all these different parts of commercial real estate that are data oriented and listing oriented and building oriented, which is obvious. So everybody's been out there asking me about some of the news coming along with Xceligent and CoStar lately, and I don't want to get into that, but I know that you have a partnership with Xceligent and their listing stuff. So, you know, tell me how that's going. What are you doing with Xceligent? And when I'm asking that, I'm asking a little bit about, you know, the data integration, some of those things. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, so one of the great things about the fact that CloudLook is natively built for commercial real estate, I mean, it's not an add-on to anything. We build it from the ground up. Every button, every link, every screen, everything solely to suit commercial real estate folks. So when a company like Xceligent came along and said, hey, you know, we would like to integrate our data with your CRM application, it was an easy fit for us because of the fact that we can, you know, basically create any sort of customization application integration that we want. It works great. So as far as I was concerned, like the one big missing piece of the puzzle with the commercial real estate CRM space was data integration. And the big problem with CRMs are that you have to use them. You have to put data into them to have any sort of benefit. And part of the problem was that people, I'm going to relate, you know, the tenants that I track or owners or vendors that I track to the buildings that they have some relationship with. That's what CRM is all about, creating this kind of 360-degree view of the world. Problem was that you had to maintain your own property database to do this, which is, in this day and age, it's archaic to think that you're going to, you know, key in property information and manually maintain changes to the data from, you know, improvement changes to ownership changes or what. So the integration that we with Xceligent solves all those problems. So you have an Xceligent subscription, you're able to connect any person. So I can pull up Duplong in Cloud, and you identify to me that, you know, I own a property in Columbus, Ohio, and Atlanta, in New York, in, you know, Las Vegas. You tell me about these properties, you know, you own, and I can quickly tap these into a little search interface that bridges directly into Xceligent, finds the record, sucks the data down into Client Look, and then keeps it linked back to those research records in Xceligent. So as availability, comps, images, tenants, ownership, public record data changes, it dynamically shows in Client Look. So now I'm out of the property research business. I leverage my Xceligent data in a whole new way. I'm not just going in, doing a search, running a report. I can use it to actually build my business. And when I'm communicating with my clients, I profess to have a whole new level of intelligence that's like unmatched.
So you talked about like how that works with Xceligent, and everyone that I certainly get involved in, they're seeing now, or they're asking more about integrations with some of the commercial real estate tech like solutions that are out there. So why do you think that's so important for the typical user?
Well, the one of the things that attracts people, well, attracts entrepreneurs to the commercial real estate industry is the rampant inefficiency. As you well know, the lack of automation, the fact that there's this, you know, $1 trillion asset class that's being transacted, managed, and researched in such an old-fashioned way. There's lots of efficiencies. So integrations to me are a big part of that. And one of the responsibilities that I feel that Client Look has is, since users log into Client Look in the morning and log out at night, it's sort of their hub of interaction. Things start and end in Client Look, in your CRM. So being able to bridge the gap between Client Look and other applications creates incredible efficiency. So there, you know, a couple of examples of applications that we've integrated with are BuildOut. So
I love the Vishu and the boys at BuildOut, the entire team, boys and girls at BuildOut. They're awesome. They got a great product.
Yeah, and they do an amazing job of marketing automation.
Very much so.
A lot of the data that application needs starts in Client Look. So I have a property that I have been, you know, researching and cultivating for a long time, and now I get a deal. You give me the listing. So now I want to start the build out process. So I can click a button in Client Look and push everything from my Client Look record into build out. So there's no rekeying of data, there's no redundancy. And it works great. Any changes that I make, you know, are updated as well. We do other integrations with things like commercial search, which is Xceligent's online listing marketplace. So Client Look users keep their listings in Client Look. And they can click a button, and every night that listing information is published online for the sake of, you know, the world being able to access. So again, there's no rekeying of information. And we do all kinds of other integrations like, you know, demographic mapping, lease analysis, all this stuff where information starts in Client Look, and then we can leverage that in other applications to save the user all kinds of time. And to me, that's really where, the kind of sweet spot is with all these applications. They all have to talk to each other and fit. But the big problem historically has been so many closed walls of applications and you know, no data integration. So now finally we're starting to see this open up, and it's been really, really successful as a, you know, as a major company initiative for us.
Well, and part of what with some of these companies, and you mentioned Build Out, and there's different ones, Prospect Now, and some of the others, and I know that you do some stuff with Xceligent, different things. How do you, here's the biggest thing that I, when I'm out there and I talk to a lot of people and do presentations, how are you kind of, I want to say onboarding, I'm thinking broader than onboarding. How do you kind of service these clients, or how do you help them with stuff? I mean, I know you're a smallish company, but how do you do that?
Well, so one of the big risks that we identified early on with ClientLook was in terms of our success, which is aligned with our users' success. If our users aren't successful using our product, they don't renew, and ultimately we don't have, you know, growth. So we've done a lot of things to try to address the adoption, you know, problems, issues that are inherent in CRMs. So like I said earlier, the big problem with the CRM is that you have to use it. You know, and I'm the first guy to tell you that a lot of what the typical CRM provider would ask you as a user to do in their application is not worth your time. Meaning manual entry of data of business cards, logging the outcome of everything you've done today, scheduling follow-up activities. All this stuff is like, this is like manual, menial database entry. And this is low-level assistant sort of stuff. But and so the problem is we're asking, you know, potentially $1 million, multi-million-dollar, you know, sales producers to do this sort of work. And if you don't, you're going to fail, you know, in terms of your CRM adoption. And we see it all the time. So one of the things that we've done, which has really been tremendously differentiating for us, is a virtual assistant team. So what this is it's a team of ClientLook experts that works all day to fulfill the requests of ClientLook users. So Duke, you can be out in the field and you can have a meeting and you can collect, you know, 2-3 business cards and you take a bunch of notes. So typically, you know, if you're the average CRM user, you're back in the office at the end of the day trying to key these business cards in, or maybe you do it at night or on the weekend, and hopefully those notes make it back into your CRM because that's where you really want them. And you know, ideally you've scheduled some follow activity, but you know, this all takes time. So as a ClientLook user, the way this works is, you know, on the way to the next appointment, you call his phone number and you dictate your notes. I met with Michael Griffin. We discussed property A, B, and C. He's interested in this. He has a requirement for that. Put him in my prospects group and schedule a follow-up call for me in 2 weeks. And similarly, you know, sitting at a stoplight, you photograph my business card or the other cards that you got, and you email them to the virtual assistant team. So this information is relayed to actual people who will listen to your voicemail and get your business card and access your account virtually and execute whatever you've told them to do. Schedule the appointments, log the outcome of the activities, put people in groups, add the contacts, assign the contacts to somebody else in your office. But this is all stuff that the average user can do. But for the ClientLook guy, you know, they can stay focused on deal making and not data entry. And as far as I'm concerned, that's one of the most important factors to our success, is the fact that we allow people to be productive and increase their business rather than getting tied down to using a CRM that basically is just an obligation or a commitment, a time constraint in an otherwise compressed schedule that ultimately never pays off.
Well, and I relate to this in a way that, excuse me, Michael, back when I was doing X, I would put stuff in manually because you had to create your own database. And you have to understand that the demographics of commercial real estate is a little bit older dudes. So it's like, look, if I'm doing this, what am I not doing? So I think that's fantastic that you have that, you know, and again, when the technology is advancing, say, look, here's how we can help you do that, because otherwise I don't have time. I mean, we just don't have time to do that kind of stuff. And it makes it a much more, I would say, interactive or viable product for me than to be able to use it, because then it is helping me. It's not taking my time away to sit there in front of the computer all day. So I love that part of it.
Well, it's kind of like, I'll add one other thing to that, dude, which is like, it's also like, we take the same approach with training. So, you know, companies like Salesforce, just as an example, and they're not different. So many software companies are in this same business where professional services, support, training are a big part of their revenue stream. So, you know, the sale of the subscription, the access to the application is only part of what they anticipate billing you for on a long term. So as a result, you know, their applications are complex. Their ramp up periods are really long. Their training is extensive. And it's almost like software providers there say, you know, look, it's if the application, if you don't adopt our tool, it's your fault because you didn't train or you didn't do, you know, X, Y, and Z that we require as part of this ramp up period. You didn't take it upon yourself to become proficient, basically. And our approach is the opposite. It's that if any feature in the system requires training, then it's a failure. That everything should be so intuitive and easy that you don't need to train. Because again, just like typing in, you know, notes and adding business cards, training time is time away from something else. And with anything, you know, you go on vacation for a week and you come back with these applications that are complex, people forget what they did the week before and they need to get retrained, or worse yet, they just stop using it.
Yeah. Which is that their job? That's not their job, right?
No.
It's not their job. So do they hand it off to somebody? You're right. I would say, and the thing that comes to my mind is like Google. I want to Google something. What does it do for me? It searches for me, you know, and that's in that basic sense. So if I'm putting in business cards, if I'm creating notes, I mean, you know, that's not my job. It's helping me do that, but that's kind of what I want. That's what I need. I don't need to think about it. You're right. Because if I go on vacation for a week, I'm not going to remember what that was. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I just can't.
No. And the fact that we hear so often, and you and I talk about this too, historically or perceptively, commercial real estate is slower to adopt technologies than other industries. And I remain convinced that that there's some truth in this, but the truth in it is that it's a fault of software providers. That we, you know, this is an industry where, you know, you own your time. You are not being paid to go to a training class. You know, so any application that requires you to invest time in training is a failure, as far as I'm concerned, because it means that you have to spend more money, your time, whatever your hourly rate is, you have to spend that time, invest that time, because I, as a software developer, would not have invested the time to make things simple enough for you to not need that training. So that's the breakdown, you know. Developers, software providers, and commercial real estate need to take responsibility for ensuring that their applications are so simple, so intuitive, and so easy that there isn't this huge cost that either it ends up being really expensive for the user because they invest the time to go through this process, or they simply don't do it and the whole initiative fails.
Well, and I've written about this and I've said it 100 times. First of all, everybody in commercial real estate is really smart. Usually you just don't fall into this business. Second of all, they got plenty of money to do whatever. And if you're not providing X, then they're not going to use it. I agree with you, Michael, that there needs to be better software providers. There needs to be better solutions. And I've said that, better entrepreneurs bringing those things to the table. So I couldn't agree with you more. And I have written about it, but it's like, look, if you got a whole thing at JLL or CBRE in the Midwest, or there's smart people in there. They're going to use whatever they need to use to get more deals. So it has to be that kind of intuitive thing. So one of the things that I want to talk to you about, Michael, and again, I've known you for a while, all this stuff that's going on with the big VC financing, you hear all the different things that all these companies getting all kinds of money, they're raising money. You got the new ICO thing coming out there where they're raising Ethereum or tokens or who knows, they don't even know what it is. I know a little bit about that. I was somewhat surprised that you basically kind of bootstrapped this thing and you've kind of just grown it organically along with, again, you have great growth. So here in this big money world, how is it possible that you just created a nice little viable tech company without a bunch of money? Tell me how you did that.
I don't know. I mean, from my
it's rare that I ask that question. That's why I'm asked. That's why I'm curious.
Well, and you're right. Like most of the conversations, and I can't contribute to these. In most of the conversations that I hear among other tech entrepreneurs is like, what are you doing to for your next round, or what? You know, they're all focused on how are they continuing to get funding for their obviously unprofitable business. Otherwise, they wouldn't need it as bad. And to me, I don't know. I built Client Look like a business. You know, here was the investment that I was prepared to make. Here was the revenue that we needed to achieve to be viable. And if we wouldn't have been, we would have closed our doors years ago. But fortunately, we proliferated. And so I like to say that, Client Look is entirely, subscriber or user funded. We validated the viability of our business month after month. I mean, one of the unique things about Client Look is that we sell month-to-month subscriptions. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we have to re-earn your business every month. So it creates a whole different kind of nuance with the way that we approach the business, we approach software development, we approach support, pricing. But so, year after year, we continue to grow. I mean, Client Look's been profitable for years. I mean, we generate millions of dollars a year now, on a minuscule investment, comparatively speaking, and it continues to grow. I mean, we're a recurring revenue model, so every month we gain more profit with our renewal rate so high. I mean, it's not stopping. So I don't know. I don't know how to have done it any differently. I don't know what to me. It would almost seem irresponsible to have taken a lot of money to have kind of tested the waters with some idea, pivoted if it didn't work, try to come up with something else. I mean, to me, it was my responsibility to kind of take the risk out of the business and build something that was gonna work and that was gonna be profitable and make money for everybody.
So with all these different integrations, all the different the growth things you got going on, so kind of what's on the horizon here? What's coming now with Client Look? What are the big things that you're looking to do here in the near future, obviously?
Well, continued integration. That's really important for us. We've got, phase two, phase three, integrations with all of our current partners and lots of new partners. We've got white labeled versions that we're doing for some big companies. We've got big international clients that we're doing some localization for. We're going to continue to push on the mobile front, which we see as really important. And we'll continue to refine and make things easier and easier. It's exciting for us because we get so much input from people as to where we could go with features and product segments and back office applications and that sort of thing, that really the decisions that we make and what we don't pursue is just as important as what we do pursue. So the near horizon for Client Look is continued growth, continued success, and gratitude for all the great subscribers that we have.
Well, Michael, I've been around you for a few years now, and I know you're out there busting your tail. I see you all the time. I see you everywhere, all the different conferences. I know we're going to see each other probably in L.A. here a couple, 3 weeks coming down the road here. So I greatly appreciate your time. We got to do it again. Let's keep going on it. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Michael.
You bet. Thanks, dude.
This is the Duke Long Commercial Real Estate with Little Latitude podcast, and thanks for listening. Please go check out my website, dukelong.com, every Tuesday for a new podcast episode. Also, every Wednesday and Sunday for a new written article. And every Thursday, you can get my newsletter in your inbox. And if you don't have any of those, please go to my website and click. Thank you very much.